Morning, Abundant Life. Good to see you all this morning and glad you're with us. I'm Pastor Greg. If you are new to our live stream, and I'm senior pastor here, and I just want to say thanks for coming. We really want to welcome you and hope you've already felt God's presence through the time of worship. Before I get into the teaching this morning, I first want to say thank you so much for everybody who filled out the survey that we took last Sunday. It was the survey that we wanted to get an idea of what all the lifers were thinking about the shelter in place and steps to move to maybe some different parts of our service, whether or not to meet outside, indoors, and of course along the guidelines of what the county and the state have given us to do. And so as expected, we have folks that are all across the spectrum. There are those that are very eager to get moving and get back to normal, and there are those who are extremely concerned and cautious, and everything in between. And so it really gave us, as leaders, a lot of information to help us in moving forward. So I just want to say thank you and to let you know that we are very conscientious about how we are moving together, taking into consideration where everybody in the Abundant Life family is, and also our perception of us in the community, that we don't want to ever be those people that the community looks at and just, you know, has negative feelings toward the church because we are, you know, aggressively pursuing our own agenda. Now, we're always going to pursue God's agenda. God's agenda is number one, but he's put us in this community to be salt and light. And so we're using the information you gave us to strategize going forward. So thank you so much for that information. We really appreciate it. Today, I'm talking in our Faith Works family series, the very last message, and I'll get into that in a minute. But since today is the last one, I'll give you a little bit of insight of what's coming up next. The next two Sundays, I'll be talking about, or we'll be discussing together, how should we think in this world that is so crazy with input from everywhere? We are getting messages from every angle we can possibly think of, and those messages are not all correct. Matter of fact, most of them are wrong, and most of them at least have a degree of wrong about them, and we need to know how are we supposed to think in this crazy time. Well, good news for you. God's Word has been given to us, and there are principles, guidelines, and commands in God's Word that will help us to understand what we're supposed to think in these really, really confusing times. So the next two Sundays, make sure you tune in, and we'll be talking about that specific subject. Then, on August the 16th, I'll be starting a four-part series on Faith Works in dealing with our finances. Here's what I know. Probably the two most important things in our life are our relationships and our money. Those are crucial to us. Now, of course, outside of God and our spirituality. But on this earth, relationships, money are crucial to us. And how we deal with money can either be a bondage to us or a freedom to us. There are those that have a lot of money, but they're in bondage to it. There are those that have very little money, and they're bitter and in bondage to trying to make more. God says there's a way to handle our money that is good and right and true. And really, Jesus thought this was an important subject. He spent 25% of his teaching in the Gospels about this subject of money, possession, stewardship, so on. So we're going to take 4 weeks starting August 16th and deal with the subject of how our faith works in the area of our finances. So write those dates down. Make sure you join us. And that's great, great teaching that you'll receive. So today, I want to talk about honoring your parents. Last message in our Faith Works family series, honor your parents. Now, this subject has a degree of complexity because a lot of us, I'm in this camp that I have both of my parents are still alive. Both of my wife's parents are still alive. And then I also have children. So I have some communication today about how we who have our parents that are still alive and we're older, how to honor and respect them. Also, how to teach our children how to honor and respect us. So there's a lot of complexity in regard to this subject matter. And so I think this is going to be good for all of us, no matter what age bracket we find ourselves in. Here's what I know. God made everything with a purpose, and that purpose is so that we could know him. Really, everything he did, everything God created, had the purpose of how can he reveal himself to us in a more vivid, real, and even simple way. God could have made the family any way he wanted to. He could have made a family that was four adults that would intermarry and create offspring and so on. He could have made just one person and they could reproduce out of themselves. God could have done anything he wanted. But he chose a man, he chose a woman, and he put that relationship together so that he could reveal himself. And it's really fascinating that God made the family and then he called himself father as the authority and patriarch of that family. He made marriage and then calls us his bridegroom, or calls himself the bridegroom and us his bride. He made kingdoms and nations and then calls himself the king. You see, God is always creating and doing what he's doing for the ultimate goal of the people knowing him. And in the process, there's awesome, wonderful enjoyment and beauty in what God has made. So this whole idea of family is God's idea. And as we talk about family, as we have talked about family, and as now we live in our families, we ought to realize that God has done all of that for the purpose of how can we see him in a more vivid light. If we cannot honor our parents, we can't honor God. 1 John chapter 4 says, how can you not love someone you can see and then say you love someone you can't see? How can we say we honor God who we can't see, but we don't honor our fathers and our mothers who we can see? See, parents have a crucial role. We learned that last week in the development of children. So parents, you need to teach your children how to honor you and therefore then how to honor God. Parents ought to model honoring by honoring their parents as they honor God as well. Now, I know that not all parents have been honor worthy. Some of you are rolling your eyes right now and saying, yeah, Pastor, you don't know what I went through as a child. You don't know how harsh and abusive my parents were. Well, that's true. But there's also a fact that you don't have to stay in a bitter, hurt, wounded place. You have an ability to choose and to choose Jesus Christ and to choose steps that will bring you out of that place of hurt and pain and then learn how to honor the position of your parents, even if you cannot honor their behavior. Here's what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3 says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, that scripture is quoting the first one of the commandments back in Exodus, and I'll read that for you. Exodus 20, chapter 12, where it says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land and the Lord... Excuse me, let me say it again. That you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. So you've got the Old Testament principle, the New Testament principle, and it's the same principle. Honor your father and mother. And when you do that, there's promises that are connected to that. And one is that you will be able to see God in a more vivid way. Now listen, the word honor in the Hebrew means this, to give weight to. Honor means to give weight to. In the Greek language, it means to esteem or to prize. And that's how we're to honor our parents, to give weight to them. There's a reverence and a respect that we're to give our parents and to prize them and to esteem them. Why? Because God put them in that position over us. God made our parents, made them in the image of God. We were then also made in the image of God. But our parents are that kind of go-between that as we see our parents, we often see God. We're to honor them, to give weight to how we treat our parents, to esteem and to prize them. When God said that you'll live long in the land and the commandment to honor your father and your mother, it's important to understand that God gave the command to a people, not to an individual. It says, you people that are my people, the Israelites, I want you to understand that if you honor your father and mother, you create a culture that will be healthy and that will be unified, and as you have a healthy and a unified culture, you'll live long in that land. There'll be health, there'll be prosperity, there'll be my blessing that will be upon you if as a culture you understand to honor your parents. It's also interesting to look that in the last days, 2 Timothy says that one of the hallmarks of the end times will be that people will be disobedient to their parents. That as a culture dishonors their parents, as a culture disregards the elderly and disregards the wisdom of those that are older than them, that culture will see decay. I challenge you to look at our culture today. How do we treat older people? How do we honor and esteem them? Makes me a bit concerned for our nation, because it seems like in the television shows that we watch and the media that's put out there, it's the young that are the ones that really have the answers. It's the young that are the cool ones, that are the clever ones, that are the up-and-comers, that are the tech savvy, that have the ideas. And the old are kind of put on the shelf as if their words don't mean anything. They're antiquated. They're old-fashioned. And I want to give us as a church a very stern warning that when we disrespect those that are older than us, we will find some decay in our culture. And it just makes sense, doesn't it? That they may be older and may not know the newest tech thing, but they know life. They have experiences that we don't have as younger ones. And I put myself in the middle, and I'm getting older all the time. But there are those older than me that I listen to because they've been places I've never been. They've had experiences I've never had. And there are those that are younger that should listen because they haven't had those, and they need to learn and to understand how to live their life. And why make the same mistakes over again when you can learn from somebody older than you? So it's important that we understand that this is a cultural thing. It's also an individual thing, that as we see our parents and honor them, we can honor God. Now let's get into the image of God here a little bit. Parents and children and the image of God. Out of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 28, and also chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, it reads this way. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness." So God created him in his image. He created him male and female, and God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." Genesis 5, 1 through 4. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And when they were created, he called them man. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness and in his own image, and he named him Seth. Now, there's two interesting words here that are used, it seems, synonymously, and they are, but they're slightly different. And that is image and likeness. What's fascinating here is that the word image is in the masculine form and the word likeness is in the feminine form. That God's intention was to help us understand that it's both the male and the female, the father and the mother, that in that beautiful bond of marriage and then bearing offspring, that as the offspring look to both the masculine and the feminine, they see the image of God. Some are of the idea that because God calls himself father and not mother, that somehow women are relegated to some of a lesser position. Not so. Man, God is not flesh, he's spirit. So he's neither male nor female. In his image, you have the masculine form, likeness, female, so that through the beauty of all that God created, that God possesses both the masculine and the feminine of what he created, so that we can understand him and his likeness much more readily. He revealed himself that way. When honor is given to our parents, first bullet point, when honor is given to our parents because they are made in the image of God. This is kind of one of those because I said so type things, God speaking to us. And I know when our parents said that, because I said so, there's really no argument. And this is kind of one of those things. When we honor God, or rather, we honor our parents because they're made in the image of God. Period. That's really all we need. I'm going to give you a lot more, but we could stop right there and say, well, I'm going to honor them because God made them in his image and he put them as my parents. When we look at our parents with all the faults, with all of their frailties and shortcomings, we must see the image of God. That God, you gave these people to me. And I'm to honor them because you gave them to me. And parents, you're to teach your children to treat you in the same way. Teach your children to honor you. Teach them to see you in the image of God. And when they grow older, then they'll honor you, and they'll teach their children to honor them. Our parents, in a way, are our creators. It says in Genesis there that man and the woman were created, but then they had in their own image, in their own likeness, Seth. That in a kind of a strange way, God has given us that creative power. Of course, you understand what I mean through procreation. But My children are born in my image. When people see my children, they go, oh, I know who they belong to. I know those are Greg and Sandra's kids. Well, because they look like us. They have our DNA. They have our characteristics. And even the way we talk or act or move or the things that we do, people can see, oh, I know what family you belong to, because they know the parents. We're to honor our parents because they're made in the image of God. Next bullet point. We must teach our children to honor us because we are made in the image of God. We have to teach our kids to understand the image of God principle. And the kids don't know that just automatically. They're not born with that understanding. So parents, you have to teach your children to honor you. Teach them to grow up in honoring you, because when you do that, they'll in turn understand how to honor God the Father. Fathers, teach your sons how to be men, how to have a work ethic, and how to treat women. Let them see you respect your wife. Open doors for her and treat her like a lady with honor and respect, so that those men, those young boys, can grow up to be men that will treat their future women that way. And mothers, treat your boys how to honor and respect ladies, how to speak kindly, how to speak generously, how to have that sensitive side of them, so that together, male and female, we can raise up sons. And fathers, teach your girls, your daughters, what it means to be an honorable man, so that when she grows up, she'll know how to choose an honorable man. Teach her what it's like to feel protected and guided and challenged, and to bring out the best in her. And mothers, teach her how to be a woman of character. Let her know what a woman of God looks like, because you set the example for her. Fathers and mothers, you have to teach your children how to honor your parents. And parents, it's you. It's not coaches, it's not pastors, it's not teachers. Although they play a part and they're helpful. We learned last week that we do need to open up our circle because others do play a part. But parents, you are the primary one to teach your children how to honor. Third bullet point. When we do not honor our parents, we do not honor God, and we distort His image. I think the number one reason, I don't have facts for this is not a survey or a poll taken. My personal belief is that one of the, or if not the main reason why people reject God is because they've had parents who did not teach them how to honor God. Because we tend to view God in the way we view our parents. If your parents were harsh and aggressively, maybe even abusively strict, we see God as being judgmental and harsh. If we have parents that are just, whatever, don't really care, do your own thing, we see God as He doesn't really care, doesn't really matter to Him. We tend to see God as we look through the veil of our parents. As we honor our parents, we can honor God. As we have parents that maybe don't teach us that, we tend not to see God in the right way either. Now, I know there's lots of yeah buts in this right now. I know what you're thinking. Yeah, but pastor. Let me try to answer some of those but what about questions. Well, but what about, do I have to obey my parents no matter how old I am? What if you're you know, 50 right now and you've already been married, you have your own kids, and your parents are telling you to do something? Do you have to obey your parents in everything they say? Well, honor always, no matter how old, no matter where you are in your seasons of life, honor always. But when now you've created your own family, you have now your own household, and you've stepped out. You've left your father and mother to create your own. And now you may take the wisdom and the advice of your parents, but you have a choice, and you're not sinning if you don't do what your parents command you to do at an older age. I would advise this: if they are strongly advising something, it would be very, very wise of you to listen and then make your choices. But is it a mandate that you have to obey them no matter how old you are? The scripture is clear that the answer to that is no. Well, what happens when I get married and have my own family? Well, as I've already said, you honor and teach your kids to honor you, and that you teach them how to honor God that way. And you model that. And even if your grandparents, as Xander and I have entered into that in the last 2.5 years, it's important for us to be consistent with our children who have the grandkids, that we together now give a visual representation of who God is. So they can see, oh, it's consistent through the generations. Well, what about if my parents are not followers of Christ? Again, if you're a teenager today and your parents are not believers, if you're listening and you're an adolescent, your parents are not believers, listen, the best way to show your parents that God is real is to honor and obey them. When they see you respect them, even if they're not following the ways that you believe as the child, as a Christian child, they'll begin to see a difference in your life. The best way to witness to your parents is not necessarily with your words, but with your behavior. How you honor them, how you respect them, how you obey them. Even without being asked, you obey them. How you go the extra step in doing what they've asked you to do. Yes, honor and obey your parents, even if they're not believers. Well, but what if my parents tell me to do something that's a sin? What if they ask me to do something that's wrong? What do I do? Well, honor is eternal. Obedience sometimes is situational. That we honor them, but we don't obey something when they ask us to sin. And I'm talking about, you know, teenagers or people that are still in your parents' household. That we always defer to the higher authority. And the higher authority is God. You won't honor God by obeying your parents to do something sinful. That you honor the higher authority, and you could say, God is my highest authority, and I'll disobey that, mom or dad, if you're asking me to do something that is sinful. And yes, that creates some issues. It really does. It makes it sticky. But as you honor them and you respond to them in a way that's right, you will see the effect in your parents' lives. Well, but how do I honor parents that have been abusive or neglectful? This is hard because you've been hurt. And I know there are lots and lots of people watching right now where you've had abusive parents. Maybe a young lady or even an older woman, you've had a father that was abusive to you. And those kind of things should never be. It's so, so tragic when a young one who looks up to the image of God in their parents, and yet that image is distorted by abusive behavior. Well, you begin by honoring the position, if not at first, the person. That God, these are my parents, and because I honor you, Lord, I will honor the position of parent. And then, yes, it's work, and it is a process to begin to learn to honor the person, even though you dishonor the behavior. Because you see, it's about your freedom at that point. As you dishonor and have bitterness and hurt, and it's real, and I'm not excusing it, and I'm not saying it's taken lightly at all. But that working through that process of learning how to forgive and to release that bitterness so that you can in turn then pray for them and ask God to change the heart and the life of those parents that behaved in such a drastically evil way. You know, in a really, really a big way, the book of Jude even says this, that we shouldn't even slander the devil himself. Not that we give him honor, but that even the devil himself should be held in a degree of respect for his power. Not because he's evil. No, you don't respect the devil. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But that he is a being of power, and there ought to be a respect for that power. That sometimes, devil, whatever, without really realizing he's powerful and cunning and devious. And so in that same way that we can respect people that have done evil things. Hope that makes sense. If somehow that's confusing for you, please shoot me an email. I'll help you go with that deeper. Well, what are ways I can honor my parents? Let me give you a few ways that you can honor your parents. Number one, obey and honor their authority. I'm talking to maybe teenagers right now or those that are still living in your parents' household. Honor and obey their authority. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Why is it right? It says, honor your father and mother because it's right. Why is it right? Because you can't honor God who you cannot see, or if you do not honor those parents who you can see. You honor and obey them. Honor them, teenager, listen to me now. Honor them without arguing or whining. Honor them without butting them. Honor them without complaining. When you do that, you're learning how to honor God. It doesn't mean you can't have a discussion or a conversation. Any parent that is wise would be able to respond to a child or a teenager who says, but mom and dad, can we have a discussion about this? And that will they will help you to learn maybe why they're asking you to do what they're asking you to do or why they're not allowing you to do what they've said no to. So discussion is allowable, but honor must never leave that relationship. Obey without attitude. That's honor. That's dishonor in the spirit. Obey and do it with the right heart and the right spirit. Obey without being asked. That's the best way to bless your parents, young people. When you know, already know what they'd like you to do because they've asked you before, do it without being told. Watch your parents faint if the dishes are done without you having to be told to do it. Watch them keel over and have to go to the emergency room if your room is cleaned up without them having to tell you. Learn how to honor them by what you do. And parents, you have to teach this to your children. You have to teach them to do these things. I'll never forget, it's an old, those who have been around me a long time have heard this story a million times. But in our church, I was still the youth pastor here, and there was a man who had a son about 7 or 8 years old. And I was speaking to him in the foyer of the church. And as we were having a conversation, his young son came flying through the sanctuary, did one of those flying, you know, karate kicks right to the side of his father. And it jolted his father off balance while we're having a conversation. And his father turns to him and says, "Whoa, nice kick, son." And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'll show you nice kick. I'll launch that little sucker. That was completely disrespectful. And the father just blew it off and actually praised him for doing a disrespectful thing. I thought in my mind, sir, when that little 7 or 8 year old is 15, 16, you are in desperate trouble unless you change right now and teach him how to respect you. Teach him that there's a time and a place. Teach him that maybe we can roughhouse at home, but in this place, this is not appropriate. We have to teach them, parents, how to honor you. Make them learn that. Parents, do not do this thing. Do not do this. Do not do the 1, 2, 3 counting thing. Don't do it. It makes no sense. Why would you teach your children to disobey you twice before they obey you finally? It makes no sense. 1, they don't do what you say. Disobedience. 2, they don't do what you say. That's disobedience. 3, you're going to get it. Now they obey. Why do you allow them to disobey you 2 times more than they obey you? Don't do that. It's not teaching them correctly. Demand immediate response. And you can train them to do that when you say it the first time, and they will do it. By consequences, by constant training. Then you have people who will respond to God immediately. That's the point. You don't want them to disobey God before they finally obey him when the consequences come. Teach them that. Do not give in to avoid the immediate conflict. Listen, the immediate conflict is there. Fight your way through it. Train them so that you can have long-term maturity in the life of your child. Don't desire immediate like and forfeit long-term love. I always held this in my mind when I was raising my kids, when I had to confront them about something, and that was this. They're really not going to like you for a while, but they're going to love you forever. And can I just tell you from someone who's got grown and married children, they love me. They love Sandra. They didn't love us every day when we had to do something they didn't like. But they love us now. Rather, I should say they loved us, but they didn't like us in those moments. Don't forfeit long-term love for the immediate like. It's not worth it because you'll teach them to dishonor. If you let your kids wander when they grow up, and that if you let them despise you now, you'll train them to grow up and despise God later. Number 2, speak well of your parents. How to honor them? Speak well of them. Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children will rise up and call her blessed." Proverbs 20:20 says, "Whoever curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness." That's some serious words. You want your lamp to be put out in deep darkness? Well, just curse your father and your mother. Speak well of them. Back when I was growing up, 60s and 70s, it was popular to call your mom or your dad the old lady or the old man. I don't even know what the words are now for, you know, just a disrespectful treatment of your parents. But let me just tell you this, don't do it. Young people, don't do it. And older adults, in regard to your parents, Treat them with respect. Speak well of them. Speak well to them. Both. Speak well about them to others and speak well to them. When's the last time you said to your parents, you know, Mom, Dad, just thank you. Thank you for what you provided. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for the sacrifices you make. If you're a teenager, start to look around and see what good things you've got, the home you have over you, the clothes you have, the time your parents take you to drive you to sports and activities and take the time to help you with your homework and provide for the special things you want to do. When's the last time you sat down and really told them you were thankful or wrote them a nice letter to let them know you're thankful? For the older adults, maybe your parents are seniors, when's the last time you appreciated your senior parents? Speak well of them. Speak into them. It's about authority and honoring God. Thank them a lot. Tell them your words mean something. As people get older, they start to wonder if, you know, did they do it right? It's important to help them to know that you really appreciate your parents. Speak well to them and about them. Number three, treat them with respect. Proverbs 30:17 says, "The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck it out and the young eagles will eat it." That's pretty graphic, isn't it? Don't let your eye mock your father or mother, or the ravens are going to pluck it out. Obviously not literally, but there's some serious consequences. Leviticus 19:32 says, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord." That's God's command. If you fear me, you will honor the gray-headed or honor the bald-headed and fear the Lord. You can obey, listen to this, you can obey and show disrespect at the same time. You can do that. Teenagers, I know, you're great at this. Why do I know? Because I was great at it. When you can say, yes, I'll do it, while your eyes are rolling. Yes, I'll do it, but this stinks. Yeah, I'll do it, but whatever. You can show disrespect while you obey. That's dishonoring. You are to view, you may not like it. I'm not saying like everything your parents ask you to do. But you can honor them and submit your will to them so that you can learn to honor and submit your will to God. Teenagers, I want to just help you with this one here. Don't ever say this really, really dumb thing, okay? You just show that you're just really, really dumb when you say this, and that is, Mom, Dad, you don't understand. Dumbest thing you could ever say. It's like saying to your parents, yeah, I know, Mom and Dad, you were 12, and then somehow you jumped to 32. And you skipped all those years in between. You know why, young lady? You know why your mom knows kind of what you're going to do before you do it? Because she did it. That's how she knows. And boys, you know how your dad says no to you and you wonder why? Because he did the same thing and it wasn't good. They've been there. They know. Oh yeah, different time, different era, same nature. Because God is telling us these things thousands of years ago. Same nature. Same people. Same sinful leanings. Your mom and your dad, they know. And yes, they do understand. Because they've been there. And they were there before you. Respect them. What's a great way to respect them? By being respectable around other adults. Great way to respect your parents. One of the greatest compliments we can ever get as parents is to have people praise your children. Why? Because when they see good kids, immediately there's the question, who trained them? Who are those parents? And in the converse, it's the same way, that when you see really, really misbehaving kids, the statement is, who are those parents? They must be losers because their kids are going crazy. It works both ways. As you live your life respectably, young person or adult, you give honor to your parents because it shows that they did a good job of raising you to honor and fear the Lord. You are a reflection of them. I love this progression. If there's a nice kid, somebody will say, who's that kid? If you are a polite and respectful young person, they say, who are that kid's parents? But if you are an honorable young person, they say, who is that person's God? We want to be people like that so our parents will be honored. Number four, heed their wisdom. Listen to them. Heed their wisdom. Proverbs 1:8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Proverbs 15:5 says, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent." You want to be a fool? Disobey your parents. You want to be a fool? Hear what your parents say and go, "Nah, they don't know what they're talking about. That's a fool." Don't be a fool. Listen to what they say. As you grow up and as you get to your own adulthood, will you soon learn that your parents were not perfect? Yeah. You'll also learn that they knew a whole lot more than you thought they knew. As a grandparent right now, it's really, really a joy to watch our children walk through married life, to watch them walk through bearing children. And it's such a satisfaction to watch them do it right, to honor each other as spouses, to raise the children in a godly way. There's nothing more gratifying because we see the replication of the teaching over the years. And it's really, really gratifying to have them ask for advice because now they are where they saw us when they were little. They now see, oh, this is how marriage works. And they begin to ask questions and they begin to seek advice. That's where honoring comes in. Heed their wisdom. Listen to them. I once heard this young pastor say this and it made me cringe. About a 30-something pastor, and he was talking about his predecessor who was in his 70s, maybe early 80s. He said, "Oh, I really respect the man. Oh, but his stories. Oh, I wish he'd just stop telling all of his stories." And I looked at him and I said, "I want you to remember you said that when all you've got left is your stories. Because those stories are advice. Those stories are wisdom. Those stories are experiences." And when the young person says, "Ah, what are your stories?" He forgets to realize that in just a few short years, yeah, you're kind of the cool 30 dude now, but in a blink of an eye, you're going to be 60-something, 70-something. And all of your exploits are going to be forgotten, and you're going to want to be able to dispense your wisdom to the next generation. And all you've got is maybe some really, really good stories. And hopefully you don't have somebody younger than you and saying, "Oh, what do you know?" Well, they know a lot because they've been around the sun a lot more than you have. Heed their wisdom. Is it always going to be perfect? No. But take time to have a discussion. Take time to ask questions. Take time to say, "What did you do?" When I'm doing marriage counseling, one of the things I assign the couple to do is I say, "I want you to find somebody who's married 25 or 30 years, and I want you to sit with them for a couple of hours and ask them questions. Because you're going to learn some good things about how to be married from somebody who's done it longer than you." Heed their wisdom. And number 5, provide for them. This is maybe for those that are older. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, "If anyone does not provide for his immediate family, he has denied the faith." When your parents are older, you got to provide for them or you deny the faith. It's not easy. I've been doing that now for years. My dad, you know, he had an accident in his mid-50s. So it kind of put him in a position where we had to care for him a lot earlier than a lot of other people. And now he's in his late 80s. So it's been a lot of years of taking care and providing and watching out for, but that's honoring. Has it always been easy? No. No. It's a strain to raise your own children and take care of your parents at the same time. And I know a lot of you are in that situation. But God says, as you provide for them, you honor God. I want to be provided for when I'm older. So I want to show that same example for my children. Provide for them. Provide for them not only financially, but emotionally and relationally to come alongside. Those later years, they can get lonely. And a lot of their friends are beginning to pass away. And now they have fewer and fewer relationships and less health and less ability to do things. And they're going to need some care because they can get lonely. Provide for them. I want to ask you a few questions as I wrap up here. Here's how you can evaluate how you honor your parents. Ask yourself these questions. Do I consider my parents a gift to be prized? Do I consider my parents a gift to be prized? Do I seek out the wisdom of my parents by asking questions and listening to them? It's an important one. Ask them questions. Listen. Number 3, do I honor and respect my parents' friends as a way to respect my parents? Respect those outside. and you'll find that they get respected. Number four, do I take time to ask them how they are doing and try to help them when I can? Reach out. Don't just wait for them to call you. Number five, do I make an effort to spend time with them and treat them with kindness? It's really nice when our kids want to come over and spend time. It's even nicer when I want to spend time with my parents. Call them, write them, sit down with them. Number six, do I realize that honoring my parents is honoring God? When you do this, it's an act of worship. And number seven, have I forgiven my parents for things that have hurt me? Some of us really need that one today, to forgive your parents for something they've done. Listen, Jesus forgave you. He went to the cross for you and your parents. If we want God to forgive us, then no matter how hard, and I know you've been through some hard things, we need to forgive. Because you see, unforgiveness is a self-imposed prison cell. It's you keeping yourself locked up in a prison of bitterness and hate and unforgiveness. You can set yourself free by forgiveness. Now, it might take a process, and you might need some help. You might need a counselor or some professional people with skills or a pastor. If you're in that position and you really could use help, please go to your connection card and write that you'd like some help in counsel in regard to forgiving and to walking through some past bitternesses. And we on the staff here will do our best to come alongside and to help you and to refer you to people if we can. But this is so important because, you see, this is all about our relationship with Jesus. As we view our parents, who we can see, we view God, who we cannot see. We need to honor our parents. Whether you're a teenager honoring parents in your home or whether you're an adult honoring your parents who are seniors, honor and respect your parents. And in this way, we honor God. Let's close in a word of prayer. As we do, I want to pray for those of you that may have difficult relationships with your parents and ask God to help you, to give you wisdom. Also to ask God to help you to begin to take steps to repair whatever is hurting. And I've seen it. I've seen it a ton of times. People have heard this teaching and they've taken the steps to repair. And I'm here to tell you that there are some really, really beautiful and growing relationships between children and parents of all ages because they've listened to God's word. God's word is true and it works when you step out in faith. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you would help every person today, whether they're an adolescent in the home, a teenager in the home, 20-something, or whether they're out of the home, married, have their own family, no matter what age bracket we're in, if we have parents still alive on this earth, we are called to honor them. And I pray in Jesus' name, you would help us each to embody this message, to begin to apply the practice of it, and to reach out to respect and honor and love and take time for and to talk to and to ask questions of and to thank and to pray for those parents. God, I want to honor you. And I want to worship you, and I want to praise you. And I realize today, Lord, that I can worship and praise you and give you glory by honoring and respecting my parents. Father, help parents to teach their children to honor and respect them. They need to train them in the way they should go. Help each parent, God, to take the harder road, to make the children grow in honor and respect them so that then when they are older, they will not only respect and honor the parents, they will respect and honor God. I pray in Jesus' name that each one would take hold of that in power so that we can have healthy families and that we would live long and prosperous lives. Father, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Those of you that are here watching, you've not yet received Jesus as your Savior, I just want to invite you. You can today. Invite him into your life. It's as simple as accept him and acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10 says, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. God, I call upon you. I need you. I'm a sinner. Come into my life. If you want to make that decision, if you're thinking about that decision, again, go to your connection card, write in there, I accepted Jesus today. We'll get a hold of you and begin to help you what it means to take your next steps. Let's all say this verse together as we close today, Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. And I hope you're taking time to maybe put this verse to memory. I want us to memorize it because it's such a great statement of faith. And each day I've been saying this verse to myself, to remember God. Let's say it together, shall we? To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, lifers. Let's go out this week, honor our parents, and honor God. Have a great one.